Good morning, New Hope. Today I want to start by giving you a new vocabulary word, a new slang word. It's a Gen Z word, but there could be a debate between millennials and it's our word. And that word is called flex. F-L-E-X. I was talking to my mother-in-law last week, and she had no idea what flex meant. And she's not a millennial. She's not a Gen Z. She's an X generation. So she's like, I don't know what that means. And she's a teacher, too. So I was shocked. So here's a definition by Google. It says this. Flex is the term commonly used by Gen Z individuals to describe showing off or boasting about one's accomplishments or possessions. So a Gen Z may use this word like this. Flex them muscles. A millennial may use the word like this. Man, that guy is flexing today. But with all of that being said, how many of us like to flex? We all like to flex. We live in a flexing culture. We like to flex. So parents, you like to flex your children. Children love to flex their toys. And students, they stay flexing 24/7. And if you are fit, you go to the gym, you like to flex your muscles. I would if I had the muscles, but I don't. If you study and you spend time going to college and getting degrees, there's a wall in your house or in your office with all of your accomplishments, flexing them. If you don't believe me, just go to my office, you'll see them right there too. And if your team wins, you are flexing that your team won. So for me, my team won the World Series on Wednesday. So I get to flex. But let's change subjects here. However, as followers of Jesus Christ, the real flex starts when we seek ways to love others well. The real flex starts with seeking ways to love others well. Church, as followers of Christ, every day we are giving opportunities to be helpful. Sometimes it's doing a simple favor, and other times we need to navigate the best way to make an individual impact in a large-scale crisis. Many of us are fixers who are ready to jump into the action, while others seek ways to provide other support behind the scenes. And the Bible gives us many examples of both for us to learn from. Whatever it looks like, doing your part is the real flex. The only wrong approach is doing nothing at all. So during these next 3 weeks, we are going to talk about the real flex and seeking ways to love others well. And on that fourth weekend, we'll be able to flex our muscles by serving that weekend in our mobile pack that we have at the last week of November. I just heard that all signups are full already. So, yes, that's good. Yes, that is awesome. Let's flex that together, okay? But they told me that during that week, you can look up if there may be some spots open. But that is so good that we get to do this. So now, welcome to New Hope. I'm glad that you are with us today. I am Yayo, Associate Pastor. If you are watching us online or hearing us in our podcast, we are happy that you are tuning in with us. And if you're in the room, you guys have an extra hour of sleep. Yay. I woke up at 6 today thinking it was 7. I almost come to church early. But let's jump into our series today. Today we are going to look at a Bible character named Moses. Moses is a big deal in the Old Testament. And for those who don't know who Moses is the guy that God uses to free the Israelites from Egypt. Also, Moses is the guy that God uses to write down the Ten Commandments and write down the first 5 books in the Bible. If you've seen the movie Prince of Egypt, that's Moses. But it didn't start that way for Moses. Before he became the man that we know of, Moses had some struggles. In fact, when God called Moses to serve him, to go free the Israelites from Egypt, Moses was like, me? I'm not good for this job. He felt insecure. He felt that he wasn't fit for the task. And he felt like Moses had this battle in his brain where it was, his brain was telling him, you're not good enough, and his muscles were telling him, you're not strong enough. So he didn't feel that he was the guy for this job. In fact, if we read Exodus 4:10, it says this. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I am not very good with words. I never have been, and I am not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Have you ever felt that way before? Where you feel you're not good enough? You don't qualify for the job? Sometimes you hear us here at New Hope asking you to serve with us, to volunteer with us, and you're saying to yourself, me? I don't even know the verse John 3:16. Maybe you say to yourself, I'm not good enough for this. But I want us to go a little bit deeper. Maybe right now in your daily lives, you feel that you're not a good parent. You feel that you are not fit for the job you have. And I'll be honest, church, I feel like Moses sometimes, insecure, especially when I'm on stage speaking. Would they understand what this guy is saying with his accent? My anxiety levels are always high on Sundays when I speak. Whether it's here, whether it's in Spanish or English, I am like, I'm not the right guy for this. Why are you using me, Lord? Me. So that's a battle I'm always dealing with. And I feel that that's what Moses was feeling here. He was feeling that he wasn't good enough for the job. In fact, he continued complaining to God. Don't use me. Use someone else. I am not the right guy for this job. So God gets angry. He gets upset. And he tells him, there's your brother Aaron. Aaron will help you. And I want us to read Exodus 4:16. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. The partnership between Moses and Aaron shows us that true strength comes from individual, not from individual effort, but from working together to fulfill God's plan. We need both thinkers and heavy lifters. We need brains and we need muscles to come together and serve God together. Remember, our goal for these next 3 weeks is to find ways to love others well together. And sometimes we can feel insecure. We can feel not good enough for the job. But God reassures Moses that despite his insecurities and for him feeling not good enough for the job, God will provide the people, the team, to help them accomplish the mission. We can get sometimes into this battle between your brain and your muscles, feeling that you are not good, but God always has a plan. He did for Moses. He provided support. So we need both. We need brains, muscles to come together. And that's something we see with Aaron and Moses. Moses was the brain, and Aaron was the brawn or the strength. They both came together. God appointed Aaron to assist Moses in leading the Israelites out of Egypt, demonstrating the importance of cooperation and support to do this task. This passage also reminds us that no one is called to serve God in isolation. We serve God together. I have missionary friends of mine who are in different countries, in different parts of the world, and they feel lonely sometimes. But when I call them, they're like, even though I feel lonely, Yayo, I know there's people praying for us in different places of the world. Because sometimes ministry can feel lonely. Sometimes ministry can feel that you're by yourself. But when you work with a team, that doesn't happen. We must lean on others for support, guidance, and this will help us and strengthen us our spiritual journey. It encourages us believers to recognize that we do have weaknesses and that we need help from other people, especially in the church, that we can ask our brothers and sisters of Christ to help us. Again, we need both thinkers and heavy lifters. It's not brain versus brawn. is both of them coming together. God will partner you up with your weakness. And if you are married and you don't believe me, your spouse is your weakness, is your strength, and it's the other way around. So let me give you an example. Joanna and I are so opposite. I like to spend money. She likes to save money. So when we put us in the same household, she balanced me and I balanced her. I mentioned earlier that my team won the World Series. I wanted to go to New York and check out a game. I was ready to spend $5,000 without thinking of it. I talked to my wife and she's like, wait a second, you sure you want to do this? So I grew with her. She's teaching me. We have two teenagers that love to eat. One is about to finish high school. You sure you want to make that expense? So I had to be balanced. And my wife came and helped me with that. And now, here's another example of how God provides people to balance you or to help you. When I started church back in 2019 in Stafford, Virginia, I have many weaknesses. First, I wasn't married. So how am I going to connect with people who are married? Second, I was reaching first generation, me being second generation. How am I going to connect with people who are way older than me? And third, I have never been a pastor. This is my first time being a pastor where I'm preaching every Sunday. So I talked to God and I asked God, God, help me out here. Help me. And he provided 12 families. And each one of them represented either a strength or a weakness. And 6 years later, there's a church now in Stafford that is being led by someone else. And that's how God works. God will provide the support that you need. If we read Exodus 4:16, this is what he says. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece. And you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. This passage shows us that God often calls us to work with others to accomplish his calling, his purpose. Teamwork is key, and there is no I in teamwork. We all work together. The real flex starts with teamwork. That's where everything starts. As followers of Christians, devoted followers of Jesus Christ, the real flex starts with teamwork. And for that to happen, we must be okay not knowing all the answers. You must be okay not to be the strongest person in the room or the smartest person in the room. And that can make us feel uncomfortable sometimes because we want to be the smartest guy in the room. We want to be the strongest person in the room. But when you work in a team, you don't have to flex all the time. You have people to help you in your areas of weakness. We have to realize that we need help. Whether you are a thinker or a heavy lifter, we all need help. Don't walk alone. And this can be difficult for us. Sometimes it's hard for us to ask for help. Why? Because we feel shame. What would they say about me if I ask for help? What would they say? I was talking to a friend 2 weeks ago, and I was telling him that I go to marriage counseling. Now, my marriage is not bad. And my friend tells me, wait, you go to marriage counseling? You're the pastor. How will you go to marriage counseling? I'm like, I want to love my wife better. It helps me understand my wife. And it helps her understand this crazy guy. There's nothing wrong with us, but we just want to get better. Parents, how easy would it be for you to be with people that have kids like you? That you don't have to walk alone. I have two teenagers at home. When the first teenager came to my house, I had no idea what it meant to be a parent or to have a teenager. I skipped the diaper stage. I skipped the elementary stage. I went straight to teenagers. And I felt so frustrated sometimes. I thought I was doing it wrong. So Joanna and I called a friend who had teenagers, and we told him, Mario, this is happening with us. And Mario is like, dude, I'm dealing with the same thing. And I'm like, whoo, I'm not crazy. Okay, we are good in this then. We are moving forward. But it helped me. But sometimes we are too prideful to ask for help. Sometimes we don't want to do it. What would they say about me? What would they say about the pastor? So we need to ask for help. And that's when God provides this team. That's when God provides people to help you. I mentioned earlier that for me, sometimes I get nervous here when I speak. I'm like Moses, okay? Moses is me sometimes. I feel like people are not going to understand me. But you know what I do? I wake up early and call one friend I'm texting, hey, man, please pray for me. And I do the same with him. He's a pastor. I'm a pastor, and we pray for each other. And sometimes I'll tell them, man, I'm using a lot of words today that are very smart words in English. I need to practice them. Before I left my house today, my wife tells me, are there any hard words you want me to help you pronunciate? I'm like, I think I'm good for today. I think. I'm just using flex, so we should be fine. But is that support? And we need that support. Our kids, our students need that support. We are not alone. And God provides a team. So in my last few minutes I have left, there are two benefits that we can learn from working together. First of all, the first benefit is working together to grow. That's something we see in Moses and Aaron. Both of them expanded their capabilities and strengthened their mission together. They grow together. Brain and brawn united to impact God's kingdom. When we work together, we all grow individually and as a team. I mentioned earlier that I wanted to spend a lot of money in some tickets, and I grow not to do that. I grow to, instead of spending $5,000, I just bought pizza and wings and watch every game at my house where I'm comfortable. I learned that. And it's okay not to be there. My wife also learns that it's okay to celebrate once a month, to go out to eat and celebrate everything we have done right. I wish it was every week, but it's once a week. So we work together. As a church, we work together. Something I love about our pastor, Pastor Rusty, every time we have a big event, he will ask us questions to our staff. He will say, what's something we did right? What's something we did wrong? And what's something we can do better? And that helps us as a staff. It helps us to be better. It helps us to challenge us. And sometimes that could make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. But it helps us grow. God will use people around you to show you your weaknesses. God will use people around you to challenge you in the good way. And God will use you as well to help others in the areas that they may need help. And church, all of us here have different skills. We all have different skills to bring. Paul explains this in the human body. Paul explains that everything is connected in the human body. Have you ever woken up in the morning and hit yourself in your pinky toe in that corner of the bed and opens that up? That's painful. Or get a paper cut. That paper cut, it may be something simple, but it stays for like 2 weeks and it hurts. Every part is important, also in the body of Christ. This is what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Your part, your body, your skill, your talent, it's important. And it does make a difference in the church. We need both thinkers and heavy lifters. A question we can ask with this, am I a thinker or am I a heavy lifter? And what role do I play? Every situation is different, church. There will be times that you will be the thinker. There will be times that you'll be the brains. And in some areas, you may be both. And here's an example of putting this into practice, of somebody that put this into practice. There's a famous pastor named Charles Spurgeon from the 19th century. They asked Charles Spurgeon, what was his secret to his ministry success? What was his secret to his ministry success? So he took a group of people to a basement, opened the door, and they saw over 100 people praying. And he tells them, that's my secret. That's my boiler room. Every time I preach, I have over 100 people praying for me. And who doesn't know Charles Spurgeon? We can see here that the people were the brains of showing that prayer support while he was the strength of preaching on Sundays. Working together helps us grow, and then we can make a lasting impact like Moses and Aaron did. Another benefit that we can learn here is this: working together to make a difference. Moses and Aaron's partnership made a difference in the Israelites. Israelites went to the promised land. Now, there was a lot of things going on in between, but their guidance helped them. They impacted. So as we work together with one mission, we will make a difference. God equips us for his mission. And you may ask, what's the mission? Well, it's simple. Go make disciples. Teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here, that's what we want to do as a church. And together, we can fulfill this. Together, we can overcome any challenge that is presented to us. And let me give you an example here. Remember the story when Jesus multiplied 5 breads and 2 fishes? Do you remember that story? Do you remember who was the hero besides Jesus? The disciples doubted. They were so scared. They're like, how we are going to feed all of this group of people, thousands of people? How are we going to feed them? So there's a boy, a kid, who brought his lunch. He's like, hey, I got 2 fishes and I got 5 breads. Let's make it happen. And these disciples did not believe it. And I want us to read this. There is a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And here, and check the disciples' attitude. But what good is that with this huge crowd? How can a kid's lunch make a difference? Well, first of all, it was Jesus who made the difference. Jesus took this and fed everyone. That kid's lunch made a difference. Working together, even though the disciples doubted, they still worked with it and took it to Jesus. Hey, that's what we got. And Jesus did a miracle. And this tells us a lot of things. It's a reminder that no contribution is too small for God. God will use anything, any skill, any talent you have, and he will multiply for his kingdom. Let's not underestimate our impact. Sometimes we feel that we are not good enough to serve at the church. That's a lie. We need you to serve at the church. We need you to volunteer at the church. We together can make a difference together. When we put our brains, our strengths, our skills, our talents for God's kingdom, we will transform the world, and the world will know that we are of Jesus Christ and that we belong to him. This is what Jesus says in John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. When we love each other, when we work loving each other, when we grow together, people will say to us, you guys are different. And then we can say, yeah, because Jesus makes us different. We love because Jesus loves us first. But we need to show this together. We need to come together. We need to work together. We need to not just work, but grow together and not be afraid of not knowing all the answers. It's okay if you don't know all the answers. It's okay if you're not the strongest person in the room. That's okay. It's fine. Because God provides the right people to make his mission happen. There is no I in teamwork. I hope. Yeah. There's no I in teamwork. Church, the real flex starts with teamwork. That's where we start. And today, I want to show you how we as a church are making the difference. How you, together with us here at New Hope, are making the difference. How we are impacting the world together. Can we flex a little bit today? First of all, you see me, I have this flex shirt. This flex shirt means that there's one kid that will be fed for a whole year. So last week, when we opened up to buy boxes or to buy this flex shirt, you guys bought 30 shirts that will feed kids for 1 year. Yeah, That's just one thing. Then we sold over 92 New Hope shirts, which means that some kids will get boxes of food. Also, we sold over 60 small boxes, I think. That's you together making a difference in our FMSC. That's you together. And it's not over yet. Today is the last day. What will happen if we take those story boxes and multiply them by two or three? We are making a difference around your church. And I am so proud of a church that is willing to give, that is willing to make the difference together, because that's what we are doing as a church. We are impacting not just a local area, but beyond a local area. Here's another way that we as a church flex. There's an organization called North Star. North Star is a network of churches that serve people or that serve churches around the D.C. area. If you guys don't know this, a church in D.C. or in Northern Virginia is not easy. To start a church in Virginia is really hard, especially in the Nova area. Culture's changing. A lot of things change fast. People come, people go. So it's so hard to do this. But North Star has figured out a way to bring support to those churches. They have bring support to us, and this is the way they've done it. September, we had a women's conference. And in that women's conference, our guest speaker came from North Star. North Star provides resources for us as pastors. Sometimes our pastor Rusty may need a break, so North Star will provide other pastors where Rusty can talk to other people and rest with other people. It's so beautiful to see how this network cares for the pastors all over Virginia. And here's another secret with North Star. North Star is the reason I'm here. They are the ones who connect me with Pastor Rusty. So you see how we are working together here. And here's another thing that we do as a church that we partner with. We partner with a school called Bryan Alternative High School. And this is a beautiful partnership. For the past 23 years, we've been partnering with them. And we have helped them in so many ways, not just financially, but also providing support. And here's one thing that we do. There is a project called Project Opportunity. It's a special program for teens' parents who are finishing their high school diploma, and we provide them gifts. We'll provide them Christmas gifts, Thanksgiving baskets, clothes for the kids. We do as much as we can to help them. Karen was telling me this past week that when other organizations go to help this program, they don't have the resources to bring gifts to everyone. But when we come in as New Hope, we tell them we want to send a gift to every student in this program. And the reason why we get to do this is because of your giving, because of your volunteering. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for impacting these students who are in their last straw, if you can say it that way. And to show you this, I want to show you this. These are thank you cards of all the students we are helping in our Bryan Center. We have 12 feet they're giving us. And I'm not saying this to brag on us. No, I'm just saying this because we are doing this together. And we are impacting our students at the Bryan Center. They made this certificate for us, for you, because your giving is making a difference. Your time is making a difference. Our women's ministry will come and wrap all these gifts. And here's a story that Karina told me, that there was a student that came to help. And when she came here to a building, she's like, wow, can I continue to come here? And we were like, yes, this is for you. This church is for you to come here. How beautiful is that? A teenager that probably everything goes against that person, but here at New Hope, we show them that there's still hope. And it's Jesus Christ. That's what we are doing. Not just we are giving, we are time, we are prayers. Our prayers make a big difference. And I just want to say thank you for doing that. Thank you for supporting these missions. Because it's not just us. It's us as a whole church together. Sometimes people ask, What happens with the church giving? That's an example. We support other organizations, people that cannot find resources. So thank you for allowing that. Thank you for helping us make a difference, because it's not just us, it's all of us making a difference. Your time, thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers. And I know some of you can give, others can volunteer, others can pray. Whatever it looks like, doing your part is the real flex. And God will grow you in each area. The only wrong approach is doing nothing at all. God teaches us to love our neighbors. God teaches us to not just say, I love you, but to put the love into action. Because that's what Jesus did. Am I right? He died for us. He took our sins in that cross. And guess what? He resurrected on the third day. And now all of us have freedom in Christ. And we get to share this. So to finish here, Moses felt insecure, and God provided Aaron to help him. Establishing that teamwork is key. The disciples didn't believe a kid's lunch would make a difference, but yet Jesus multiplied. Church, when we come together in unity for God's kingdom, He shows up and does incredible things through us. When we come together in unity for God's kingdom, He shows up and does incredible things through us. So first, don't walk alone. Please don't walk alone. If you need help, come talk to us here at New Hope. If you need prayer support, come talk to us. Don't walk alone. We are here to pray for you. We are here to guide you. We are here to work together and to grow together. And sometimes you may feel lonely. You may feel alone, but you are not. There's people who are in the same struggles as you. So we want to pray for you. Join our team. Join our small groups. If you are married and you're a young couple married, join our small group. We have every other Wednesday, we have our young couples meet every other Wednesday. If you're a young adult, come. Every Thursday, we have a group from 7 p.m. and up that we meet here. Join us. Come. We have women's small group, men's small group. You need to come together because that's where we grow. Let's make a difference together. The real flex starts with teamwork. We are not alone. First of all, the Holy Spirit is in us. If you're a believer of Christ, the Holy Spirit is with you. And God will provide people to help you grow in the areas you need to grow and for you to help others in the areas they need to grow. So as we are wrapping up today, I want us to do something together. I want us to put this exercise, I want us to put this into practice. Let's exercise together. I want us as a church to pray for this coming up week. It's election week. I want us to pray. I want us to pray for unity. I want us to pray for us to be the peacemakers. Because there's people that will be upset, people will be angry, people will be happy, and we are the light. We are ambassadors of Christ first before anything else. Whoever wins, it doesn't matter. We are the peacemakers. So I want us together to pray for our country, to pray for unity, to pray for harmony, to pray that we can be the light that Jesus wants us to be. So let's all close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, today we pray for our country. We pray for the United States of America. Lord, we pray that your will be done. Lord, we pray that we can be peacemakers, Lord, that we can be peacemakers regardless of what happens on Tuesday or on the election week, that we can be the light you have called us to be. Lord, I pray that your peace can govern our hearts, that we don't put our hope in a election results, that we put our hope in you, our Savior, you, Father. Lord, we just pray for our country. We pray for the United States of America, Lord. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. We pray this in your name, and we all say, Amen. Thank you, church.